Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please?
Attention. 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 Do I have everybody's attention now? Burn it
down! This is the In My House Pro Wrestling Podcast.
Finally!
Scotty Villa brings you your new favorite pro wrestling podcast.
There is nothing you could do that is more dangerous than wrestling CM Punk.
He's got the latest in covering all of the major promotions in professional wrestling.
Austin 316 says I just whipped your ass.
Breaking news and hot topics, he's covering everything from Monday night till Sunday night's main event.
I'm the hottest thing in professional wrestling. I'm Dr. Britt Baker.
And we never forget to go old school.
I was rowdy before rowdy was cool.
From the golden era.
The irresistible force meeting the immovable object.
To the attitude era.
And if you're not done with that, Philly's got two words for ya.
To the revolution.
It's about the 14 years it took me to go from undesirable to un-goddamn-deniable.
And everything in between.
Superkick Hotel!
This is your pro wrestling podcast. This is In My House.
Give me a hell yeah!
Welcome to my
Welcome, everyone, to the In My House Pro Wrestling Podcast. And yes, we're back. I know we did a show a couple days ago recapping the Elimination Chamber. And I even think we said on that show that this is this week's episode. But no, fuck it. We're regular schedule. We're putting it back up. Myself, Scotty Villa, with UK Tom are here. Tom?
Well, two of us are here to put on a regularly scheduled event.
Yeah, someone didn't show up for work today.
One of us is being a little bitch and isn't even here. So, Mike, you can kiss my ass.
Mikey, where are you, pal? This is a three-man group here. It's only two of us here.
No, it's two guys and a bitch. And he's clearly decided that whatever he has got planned is more important than the In My House faithful. So
apparently he's probably picking
giant
daisies.
Fuck yous all around.
Mike, this is what happens when you don't show up for work, right? I mean,
Mike,
we do
don't you bury me in that fun fact. I'll come for your nuts next time.
Ooh. Ay, ay,
that's
ay.
What she said.
Oh, fuck. Mike will be back next week, I'm sure, unless he's got another bingo night he's got to get to. I'm not too sure what's going on with the fella, but
or if he's listened to this and isn't talking to us anymore.
He might be out there trying to be productive. Maybe he's trying to learn how to do a kickflip. I don't know. But
maybe he's trying to find a new hair dye.
Fuck.
The Joe Hendry steam has cooled off. So
yeah,
got to find somebody else to look like.
I mean, that's so fucking funny, actually.
I believe in Mike.
Anyway, man.
We'll move on from Mike.
We'll move on. Let's talk some pro wrestling here, pal. Coming off the heels of a fantastic pro wrestling weekend that a lot of people enjoyed, which was great when it come to Elimination Chamber. Before we get into Monday Night Raw, tonight's going to be about Monday Night Raw quite a bit, because we got a very, very good, if not great, Monday Night Raw this week. A couple weeks ago, CWE came rolling through our Queen City here. And unfortunately, myself, I had to work. Mike couldn't make it either, but UK Tom was there in full force supporting CWE and making sure everybody knows, hey, make sure you listen to the In My House Pro Wrestling Podcast. And throughout the show, Tom was texting us in the group chat and letting us know this is a massive crowd. This show was up against game the gold medal game, the championship game of the Four Nations final, USA versus Canada. And that's a pretty big thing in the hockey world at that moment. And Tom, you had said the place was sold out. It was standing room only. If you didn't get a seat, you were standing along a wall. And you said it was a fantastic night. So I do want to throw it to you just to give us a couple highlights of CWE coming through with a steel cage.
Now, I was worried is the wrong word, but I don't know what the right word is. So I was a little bit worried about the crowd for that night because of that hockey game and hockey game.
Match. Yeah, it was hockey. And it was a Thursday night.
And the crowd I was been comparing it to, you were there for this show and it was when Rhino was here. Like how full this crowd was. It was big. And they had like chairs up on the stage. It was a great crowd. Nice and loud too, which was fun. And what was also fun, there was a little group that were matching mine and Sheldon's dickishness when it comes to shouting things at the guys. So that was fun.
That's awesome.
The special guest, for those who don't know, CWE always brings somebody with them to come see us in Saskatchewan. And this trip, it was Rene Dupree from La Resistance fame back in the early 2000s in WWE. At one point, the youngest WWE tag team champion in history until Nicholas stole that honor. And that will never be beaten because he was, what, 10?
I think so, yeah, 9 or 10.
Let's not talk about that. I got to be honest. I always do the meet and greet. I get the marked picture and my autograph collection and all of that sort of stuff.
Do all the rad stuff.
I was a little bit, when it was Rene Dupree, because I heard he was a dick.
Okay.
I was really pleasantly surprised. He was such a nice guy. And he did a lot of tours with All Star Wrestling back in the UK. So getting to talk to him about that and talk about some of my UK guys from back home, like Dean Allmark and Kid Cool, which were... I also got to see Rene on a couple of those tours teaming with PCO.
Oh, really?
So that was a wild tag team. And also, it's very... once he got in the ring, he was in a six-man tag. You could see he'd been doing the Japan tours all these years, and everything was nice and tight, nice and stiff. He looked great. You could tell he'd been carrying on his workout. And for some reason in my mind, because of the gimmick he was on TV, babyface Rene Dupree would never work.
Yeah.
But he was fantastic.
Really? See, and, I'm like that. I can't picture that. It doesn't compute in my head.
And I forget which song he came out to now, but it was a song that it's one of those old school rock songs that everybody knows. And everyone's like, fuck yeah.
Really?
And he was like playing air guitar and singing along with it. It's really going to drive me nuts. So if anybody can remember what song that is, please tell me.
Yeah, send it to us at In My House Pod. Comment on it because I'm super curious now.
Please put me out of my misery because that's going to drive me absolutely insane. But he was fantastic. He looked great. He hit a dive from the ring, the plancha, where you pull yourself over the rope. And he got so high, he hit the support beam of the ceiling in the owl.
Really?
Like he was up in the air.
So he must have been hands on rope, but like body completely vertical.
Completely up.
Yeah. Yeah. And feet, oh, wow. Good and for him.
He looked great. So that was really good. And then, so I was sitting next to one of our listeners, Sheldon, who I accidentally buried before, and I take that back. but we both said that the following match was the best match we've seen in CWE,
which is wild because we've seen a lot of awesome matches. Tessa Blanchard's match with Rhea Von Slasher.
Rhea Von Slasher was
fucking awesome. We've seen great, great matches with Mentolo, Danny Duggan, Tamikaze. I'm forgetting his name. Where's a singlet? I can't remember his name. I'm so sorry, dude. I want to say Greg Moore, but it's not Greg Moore.
James Roth.
Yes, yes. Guys have just been fantastic. But what match is this?
So it was the new CWE champion, a newly heel turned our friend Chiz.
The Chiz!
Good old Chad Daniels defending against the previously mentioned Mentolo.
Wow. Now, dude, I legit didn't know that match went down.
It was fantastic. Now, I think they went about 25 minutes.
Really? How is Chad Daniels as a heel?
Because I really like him.
Mm-hmm.
I found it a little bit hard to take him seriously as a heel.
Okay.
But work-wise, he was great. And there was one spot in the match that I was like, you know what? You're actually a very good heel.
Nice.
So they were doing the, you know, where Mentolo goes around and he always puts him in a seat and chops. And
yeah,
they were doing that. And so, as always, I gave Mentolo my seat. He put Chad in the seat and then fucking waffled him a few times. And between getting hit, Chad Daniel was very loudly, "Tom, I thought we were friends." Which,
awesome.
He was fantastic. But this match, the first 15 minutes, and I mean this in the absolute nicest way possible, was typical CWE.
Okay. Yeah, and I know exactly what you mean.
It was a very, very good standard independent match.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I mean that in a purely nice way. But then for the last 10 minutes, they stepped it up. And they went to that level that we've seen both of them go to in matches before. But for them both to go there against each other, it was fantastic. And the noise in that place was incredible.
Really? Oh, man. So CWE, I'm going to throw this out to you. When you guys are back in May, I believe it is, with James Storm. Cowboy James Storm's coming back. I'm so pumped. I had a blast when he was here the last time.
Hey, but, Scotty. Hmm. Sorry about your luck.
I'm asking the CWE overlords, the faithful, the faces that run the place there. Bring that match back. I didn't get
Please
to see
give
it.
Us that again.
Give us Chad Daniels versus Mentolo for the CWE championship. Tom doesn't put anything over lightly. So he's putting this over huge, and I'm having serious FOMO because we missed out. And we need to see that match again.
Did I remember to tell you that the first match for that show is already booked? It was booked at the last show, and I might have forgot to tell you.
You absolutely did not tell us that. What is
it? So the first match that we're going to get, and I'm excited for it, I think it has the potential to already knock the match I just talked about off as best CWE match. What? We are getting our buddy from the In My House show previously, Kamikaze.
Whoa.
Is defending the CWE Central Canadian Heavyweight Championship against Regina's own Sean Moore.
That's who I was thinking of before. Shit. Sorry, Sean. That's the match? That's the opener?
It's the first match they've announced.
Okay, sorry, yeah, the first match they've announced. Dude. You have it on a silver platter right there. You could be the next best match of CWE we've ever seen. Dude, that match is going to rule.
I just had a thought what might be really fun.
Go on.
It's related but unrelated. Year-end awards, CWE Match of the Year award.
We could absolutely throw that in there. We definitely have to throw that in there. We go to every show that they do here in the city. Myself and Mike missed the last one, but you know what I mean. Absolutely, we should do that. Let's Lock that in.
I think that'd be fun.
Yep.
And absolutely. Given our different tastes in wrestling, I think it'll be interesting to see if all three are the same.
Man, I'm so bummed now that we missed that show, because not only did we miss Tom's, what could be his favorite CW match of all time, we missed a steel cage match. The first time CWE's ever brought a steel cage out and to this city. How was that? It was Kamikaze versus Danny Duggan.
Danny Duggan.
Right? Like, how was that match? Now, when we've talked about them bringing the cage, we're like, this isn't a very big venue. That cage is going to hit the roof. Like, what? How did this work?
So I got to put him over for that cage. That was the best independent cage, like the physical cage itself, I've ever seen.
Wow. You've seen a ton of wrestling.
So there's two steel cages on the independent scene in the UK. Mm-hmm. One of them is a very good cage and one of them definitely is not. One of them is essentially chicken wire. But this thing, like, it was big panels, and it needed like two guys to lift it to bring it to the ring, each panel. And then they had to like drill it together. It wasn't just a like plop it up and leave it type situation. It was quite a process for them to do this. And I've also got to give them credit. They did this quickly.
Nice.
Like, I'd say 10 minutes maximum it took them.
Was that when they did the intermission? Like, did they do the intermission?
No. So they did the intermission. Oh. That's what I thought they would do. I thought they would do, for those who don't know, at CWE, it's usually free matches, intermission, and then two or three matches. But what they did, I assumed they would do five matches, intermission, main event in the cage. And they didn't. They did the free matches, the usual intermission, and then two matches and then a little break just to put the cage up. But they had the music going and it was good.
Did they have just generic music going, or did they have Danny Duggan's entrance music going? Because that takes a while too.
Well, I think if they'd done that, they would have had a riot. Because, and again, I know we said we're not a political podcast and we really aren't, but with things climate, the way they are at the moment, and Danny's anti-Canada, pro-states persona, gimmick, whatever you want to call it, I legitimately don't think I've heard a negative reaction for a wrestler like that ever.
Wow.
At a live show I was at.
I can only... I'm so mad I missed this, because it had to have been the loudest chorus of boos, just a wall of sound of boos towards Danny Davis as he's coming in with his American
flag.
It
was instant too.
I bet.
As soon as the first chord of that song, which we usually pop for,
mm-hmm.
as soon as that hit, oh my God.
Yeah, I gotta say, I don't think I'll be standing and taking my hat off for the next little while here for Danny.
I won't be singing that song anymore.
You know who will? Monday Night Mike. But anyway, go on.
Yeah. And not to like try and put this over too much or anything like that. I was genuinely a little relieved when Danny got in the cage.
Yeah.
Because I thought people might jump him.
Really?
I was watching people. That's all I'll say. And grabbed if they got too close.
If any of those people are listening that maybe Tom saw that, maybe was eyeing it up, don't do it. It's entertainment. It's fine. I get the political climate that we're in right now is very, very, there's a lot of tension there. But Danny's just here doing his job. We're just there to watch the show, and you can separate pro wrestling from reality. So just fucking lay back. If you can't handle that, maybe stay home for the night. But anyway, I want to get to the match, because steel cage match in CWE. We got a steel cage. We got a small venue with a low roof. How does it go?
So they didn't go up the top of the cage, just to get that out of the way. They couldn't have got up there.
Kind of would have figured, but I just wanted to clear that air.
But they did very, it was what I consider an old school cage match.
Love that.
They built to the use of the cage, and Kamikaze was selling his ass off.
Nice. That's our guy.
And it was a thoroughly enjoyable main event.
Perfect. Perfect. Kamikaze won, retained his title.
Kamikaze retained his title.
Was it by,
they did the,
was it by pin, it was or by submission? Pinfall. Was, okay. I was wondering if he escaped the cage through the door, if that was part of it or no.
No, no. They did the spot that really makes me laugh, that Danny was trying to climb up the cage to get over the top. Kamikaze grabs his tights, and then Danny's entire ass is everywhere. And then with his ass still out, he takes the bump where he's nutted on the top rope. That's not the right word. But
I think I need to ask the question that everybody is wondering, and it's the first question.
Yes, it was as tanned as everything else.
That's exactly right.
So, Danny, credit for your tanning game, that it is everywhere.
Oh, way to commit, Mr. Duggan. Well done. Well done. Oh, that's fucking funny.
Absolutely. A fantastic CWE show that I thoroughly enjoyed.
That's awesome to hear. Awesome to hear.
I've also got to give a shout out to our friend Stripes, aka Cam the referee. Always a pleasure talking to that guy. So it's always good to see him.
Absolutely.
And
CWE comes back.
Very much looking forward to them coming back in May.
Yeah, I think it's the last set, one of the last Fridays of May.
I got the date here. 25th? It is the 28th of May, which is a Wednesday.
May 28th, which is a Wednesday. Cowboy James Storm is coming back. Get your tickets as soon as they're available. As far as I know, as long as work doesn't screw with my schedule again, and there's no Canada versus US type of sporting event happening that night, I will be there along with UK Tom, and I'll make sure that Monday Night Mike is there as well. Great job by CWE. Love hearing that.
Mike might bitch out on us, but that's okay.
Before we get into Monday Night Raw here, there has been some other local pro wrestling news happening right now. Reaper Wrestling, right? That's what it, Reaper Pro Wrestling? Reaper Pro Wrestling. It's this new company that not a lot of people know who's involved or what it is, but in Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan, they are holding a show on May 16th, which is a Friday. And they've announced some pretty big names for pro wrestling. A lot of big names out of TNA, like Frankie Kazarian, Jake Something, Jody Threat. I'm missing a Rhino, I believe.
Crazy been Steve.
There, Crazy Steve. There are some big names coming to Saskatchewan for these shows. And the first show is May 16th. Their tickets are on sale now. And it's kind of like a... Go ahead.
It's the tickets are on sale now at reaperwrestling.com. The first match has been announced. It's Jody Threat versus Zoe. I don't know how to say her surname. I'm probably going to get it wrong, but Zoe Sagar, Sager.
I think that works. That works.
She is one of the WWE ID talent.
Yes.
So we're technically getting TNA versus WWE here in Moose Jaw.
Love that.
Well, they're in Moose Jaw, I guess, because we're in Regina. But this guy, I don't even know the guy's name. I really should. But it's very, very obvious that the owners of Reaper Wrestling are putting in a lot of effort. So Saskatchewan wrestling fans, get your ass to Moose Jaw. Support local wrestling. We need more of this stuff. And there's plenty of room for it to go around. CWE, we still love you.
Absolutely. But, if you think about it, Tom, May 16th, go to Moose Jaw, watch a great brand new promotion coming up in Saskatchewan with Reaper Pro Wrestling, with a bunch of amazing names and amazing talents. And then a week and a half later, get your ass to Regina, go to CWE. Cowboy James Storms is here. and some of the best independent pro wrestlers you will ever see are coming through and entertaining us like they have however many years that CW's been going on. We've been going to shows for the last 2 years, year and a half, 2 years, and we've never been let down, not even with a single match. It's been so much fun every single time. So get out and support local pro wrestling. I know this Friday, actually, March 7th, in Regina, Ringside Wrestling has their 11th anniversary show. Get your tickets now. That place sells out pretty quick. And if you don't get some seating, you're standing either upstairs or along the wall. That company, Ringside Wrestling, has been doing a great job of storytelling each show each week. I tell the guys all the time, I love that CW is doing some more storytelling for their shows, connecting the dots for us as well. So get out and support local pro wrestling here in Saskatchewan, because it's everywhere this spring.
And if you don't support it, we'll lose it, and then I'll be very upset with you.
Yes. The last thing you want is heat with UK Tom. This guy's seen some shit, okay?
And his dad's Mike.
Yeah, that's why do you think he's really not here? one of the big reasons we wanted to do this show today was to talk CWE and Reaper and Ringside and local pro wrestling, but we're on the road to WrestleMania right now, and hot shows are hot shows, and Monday Night Raw this week was a very hot show in a lot of people's opinions. Myself and Tom watched it live. We were texting back and forth pretty much the entire show, which is usually a good sign that the show is very good. You know, Monday Night Mike does what he does. He watched a 20-minute recap, I'm sure, today at some point. But he was kind of in and out with following along as well. And Tom, I've been tinkering with should we be doing recaps every Raw and every SmackDown? Should we do it? I'm still working on that and trying to figure out a good formula for us where we don't let our listeners down if we miss a show or anything like that. So, but yeah. I do really want to get into Monday Night Raw. Let's recap Monday Night Raw.
One thing I've mentioned in the past is being a little bit unhappy that 2.5-hour, 3-hour show only has 4 matches on it.
Yes.
Last night, I was absolutely fine with that because every single match delivered.
It was one of the most solid pro wrestling television shows we've seen in a while, especially when it comes to WWE Monday Night Raw. The one that you're addressing right now that you just talked about, Tom, was, I believe, the debut on Netflix. There was what, 4 matches in like that 2.5-3-hour show, whatever it was.
Yeah, and they were all ass.
Right. So I think they've kind of kicked out of that a little bit, coming off of a very hot Elimination Chamber. Monday Night Raw started off hot. But before we get into that, I do want to ask you one question because I've gone back and forth on this.
Go on.
Did Raw miss an opportunity with the casual fans or the mainstream audience to not have anything other than video packages about Cody, Rock, and Cena? Do you think Cody, Rock, or Cena should have been on Monday Night Raw?
No. I do not.
This morning I was, and then I listened to Busted Open, and Dave LaGreca opened with that. And I was like, fuck yeah, Dave. And Bully's like, absolutely not. And I had a chat with a coworker. Oh,
you mean I agree with Bubba Dudley?
You do. I had a chat with a coworker, and he was indifferent on it. I was very hard on, grab that audience. Like, they're talking about it on ESPN on Monday morning. And then Monday Night Raw comes, and any of those fans that may be like, maybe I should tune in, I like The Rock, and there's nothing but video packages about it, I don't think they're going to stick around to Friday. But go ahead.
I have multiple reasons that I think it was fine.
Okay.
So number one, when it comes to The Rock, less is more.
Especially lately. That's a very good point right now.
I don't, because at Elimination Chamber, he was fantastic.
Yeah.
The promo on SmackDown, I think our listeners know what I thought of that promo.
Yes, they do.
So less is more. John Cena has stated previously that he's very well aware that fans are upset about him not showing up on his retirement tour. Mm. So, of course, the first thing that heel John Cena is going to do is not show up.
Yeah. Good call.
And my third reason, and this might just be a me being pedantic about rules thing. Cody is a SmackDown superstar. Get the fuck off of Raw.
I do agree with that. I 100% do. They make up their own rules when it comes to the draft, and they kind of go from there. So I'm fully on board with it. Was fine. They showed enough video packages that I think people will.
They kept over. It going.
Yeah. We don't have a ton of time left on the show, pal. I do want to get into the two biggest things that happen on Raw. What Tom said earlier is true. Every match delivered. The women's intercontinental title match delivered. The men's tag team match. Yep. Men's tag team match delivered. Everything on that show made sense to me and had a reason and a purpose for being there. I'm not quite sure why Karrion Kross hugged AJ Styles from behind, but I think it was just to show off his hair. But that's just me being petty. let's quickly get into the opening of the show with CM Punk coming out. And what many are saying is the best promo he's done since he's come back and calling out everybody. He called out Drew. He called out The Rock. He called out Cena. He's calling out all of his enemies. And then he starts calling out Seth Rollins. Well, Seth answers that call and they brawl. And usually during Mania season, especially from the past few years with Brock, I'm sick and tired of the pull aparts. They don't really do anything for me. That's when I start picking up my phone and just waiting for it to be done. This one was done very, very well, Tom.
And you know why this one was, I liked this one.
Why's that?
As soon as Seth's music hit, Punk was off that table, running around the ring, up the ramp, and was on him.
Yes.
There was no pro wrestling. I'll wait for him to come to the ring.
No invisible wall.
I'm going to go stomp on this guy's head.
I thought it was
and
fantastic.
And he did.
He did. The pull apart was great. The physicality was very, very good. There's a couple times I'm like, the camera shouldn't be on this right now. But they brawled. And then through the quote-unquote commercial break, they brawled even more. Behind the big board, the soundboard and everything like that in the stands.
And behind all the international announcers.
Yes, exactly. So that lines up match next week at Madison Square Garden inside a steel cage. They're ripping off CWE now with their big cage match show. But dude, great, great way to start Monday Night Raw last night. If you weren't going to have the Cody Rock and Cena, this was a hell of a start.
And the thing with the Punk promo that I thought was great, whether it was legit or not, he was stood on the table and he was like, who should I talk about? And then the crowd was shouting names and then he buried that person.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Punk, we all know he can talk. Last night, he talked his ass off.
It was perfect because we haven't gotten that level before with Punk. So great job. We waited for it. We got rewarded for it as well. But before we wrap up, pal, we need to get to that main event because
the women's
world championship. It's Rhea Ripley defending her women's world heavyweight championship against Io Sky. The winner faces Bianca Belair at WrestleMania. And I think we can all say, yes, it would have been cool for Io to win, but we all predicted that Rhea is going to retain, and it's going to be Rhea versus Bianca at Mania. Well, boy, oh boy. One, we got a phenomenal main event match. Those women should be extremely proud because there's nobody that could have followed that match on that show. Two.
Yeah, they needed to be last.
Yes. We got a new Women's World Heavyweight Champion, Tom.
I was surprised. So I must have made a noise because James texted me saying, what happened? So I must have yelled at the TV. And I loved that finish with the reversing the top rope.
Riptide?
What's the name of her? Riptide. Thank you. Into the Rana and then that moonsault and then just that very surprising 1-2-3 and the pop from that crowd. It was a very, very well done main event.
I loved it. Rhea Ripley is such a good wrestler, an amazing seller. It drives us all nuts that she doesn't wrestle more on television for us to enjoy and watch her work. Io Sky, right? Io Sky has done everything in the world to get herself over. They've pushed her as well. There's some sort of disconnect maybe with the audience where she's not getting these big reactions when she comes out. But by the end of every match, the crowd is fully invested in her. And the Triple H era has fully invested in Io Sky since day one. Since she became a member of Damage Control at that SummerSlam, they've been fully invested in her. I love it. It's been a fantastic build. Do we get Io Sky versus Bianca Belair for the Women's World Heavyweight Championship at WrestleMania singles match, or does this become a triple threat?
I think they set it up in the match. And I know a lot of people are mad. Well, they're wrestling fans are always mad, but with Bianca shoving Rhea, it should have been a disqualification. Fuck off. They made a very good job of covering that up with Jessica Carr putting on her big girl pants. And this is a title match. Don't fuck around.
Yeah, basically. Referee's discretion.
And it was, I loved that match. And oh my God, those three women could steal the weekend.
Agreed.
For WrestleMania. They also could go on last. And I don't think anybody would be upset about it.
I'm fully believing Triple H when he had said at a press conference either after, I think it was after the Chamber, where he said the best match and the best story with the most investment will get main event spots. And
100%, I think he was right.
I hope that that's the case because I don't care what the main event is now as long as people are super invested. That's why Sammy and Kevin versus the Usos a couple years ago got night one main event because they were super invested. And it was awesome. Do that again. You could heat up Gunther and Jey Uso real quick, and that could be the main event. You could heat up a tag team title match. You can do whatever you got to do. Whatever the people are super invested in need to be main events. That's how I'm seeing it now. Real quick, saw this on Twitter. We got about 30 seconds here before we're going to sign off. In the background of a vignette or a backstage interview, there's a clip going around of Dominic Mysterio was talking with Karrion Kross. Do you think he would be a good fit as a new member of Judgment Day?
I think it would be very interesting, and I think they should do it.
I agree. Let us know on the Twitter at InMyHostPod. Get us up there on all the socials. We are out of time. This has been so much fun. We'll have to maybe do some more recaps of some big shows as we're on the road to WrestleMania. Tom, this is a blast.
Hey, Mike. Go fuck yourself.
Welcome to my house. Play that music too loud. Show me what you do now. We don't have to go out. Welcome to my house. Welcome to my house. Welcome to my house.
It's my house.
Yowie wowie.